July 22nd, 2005. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 45.
Danger, danger. My name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining Saga.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this week on a lovely day, a lovely 105 degree day. And here on my left, I have Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm melting.
Yes, we all are. We also have here Mulberry Bill. How are you doing, Bill?
Well, I'm a lot better than you are. At least it's not 105 here.
Where did you get those wonderful toys?
Spencer's Gifts.
Ah, that's always a great shop. Found in every mall. Visit Spencer's Gifts. Vanessa, how you doing, Vanessa?
I'm great.
Our Mulberry newswoman.
Yes.
It's been a great week. Now, Vanessa, being a newswoman, you catch a lot of news during the week. You're watching CNN, CNBC. You've got them all on multiple monitors, am I right?
Yes.
You're just soaking it all in. Now, this interesting thing happened is Elizabeth Smart, you remember her. She was the girl who was abducted in Utah a number of years ago, was on Nancy Grace. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Nancy Grace, but
yes.
She's one of those newswomen, one of those stupid news shows.
Yeah, but you can't even call her a newswoman. She's more of like a tabloid.
So she has Elizabeth Smart on her show. She's trying to get this bill passed about sexual offenders, right? And that's what she's on the show to talk about. That's all she wants to talk about. But Nancy Grace has a different idea in mind. Let's check out what happened on the show.
Elizabeth, I remember when you first went missing and literally hundreds of people were out looking for you. Now we know you were being held captive not very far away from your home at all. Did you ever hear people calling out your name trying to find you? There was one time.
Stupid question?
Yes.
Keep in mind, during this whole thing, she's looking around like bewildered.
Help me.
Like, what the hell is going on? Why is she asking me this stuff?
Of course, who wouldn't? How, at that moment, when you knew people were looking for you, your parents were there, they were trying to find you, how did that make you feel?
Horrible. I hate my
parents. I didn't know how big it was, and it was good to know people were looking for me, but...
You know, this reminds me of, like, in sporting events even, they ask, how does it feel to lose the game?
I know.
It's like, hey, you got kidnapped. Did that suck? And it's like, yeah? Or, it's like...
No, it was great, thanks.
You were kidnapped. Did you hear your parents calling for you as they were searching for you? You know, it's just like, wow.
I felt so far away, you know,
for
just,
you.
It didn't really connect at that time. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think
that's
that...
a stupid question.
You were such a little girl, Elizabeth. I mean, you were
like
just 14 years old. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to expect a little 14-year-old...
When you were kidnapped, did you ever eat at Taco Bell? I love that place.
When you were
14... An adult might imagine they would react under those circumstances. You were afraid, I assume.
Yeah.
Did your kidnap...
So she's looking to the side to her handler or whatever, kind of like, what the hell is going on?
Her handler?
Yeah, because when you go on these shows, you're not there in the studio with the person. You're on, like, a little monitor because
In
another state. And she's looking to her left like, what the hell is... Why
is this woman retarded?
Yeah, why is she asking me these questions?
Well, if you tried to get away,
They did. And I really am here to support the bill and not to go into what, you know, what happened to me, what the whole, like, what is in my past, because I'm not here to give an interview on that. I'm here to help push this bill through.
And I want you to push the bill through, and I want people to hear your voice.
But first, let's talk about this.
When we take a look back, there is a shot of Elizabeth Smart, and here she is 4 years later, and frankly, it's a miracle that she was ever found.
Shut up, you condescending whore.
You know, a lot of people have seen shots of you wearing a burqa.
Elizabeth, you could have not ever been found, and they would have found you dead in a dumpster somewhere. How does that feel that you could have been killed years ago?
When you were wearing your burqa, did you ever get sweaty? Could you see out of the burqa properly?
You were outside a lot of times. What is it like to not have air conditioning while you're kidnapped? That must be really hot.
Was your peripheral vision affected?
Did you look like a Tusken Raider in those Star Wars movies?
You know, I'm really not going to talk about this at this time. I mean, that's something I just don't even look back at. And I really,
I'm not ready to cope with that yet.
I really don't appreciate you bringing all this up.
I'm sorry, dear. I thought that you would speak out to other victims. But you know what? I completely understand. A lot of victims don't want to talk about it and don't feel like talking about it. Let's talk about the bill.
Wow, could she be any more condescending?
Bitch,
let me turn this around as your problem. Yeah. It's not that I'm wrong asking you ridiculous questions. It's that you're wrong.
Oh, and she went through years of therapy to forget.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I thought you'd want to help other people, but I guess not. Let's go ahead and talk about your
selfish
little bill.
Bitch.
Now, this week in San Diego was Comic-Con. That's like this big, huge comic convention. It's not just comic books, though. It's movies. It's everything. Everything we would love to cover. But one person did get to go, Steven, and that's the Rondu. He sent us a voicemail. Let's check it out.
Citizens of Mulberry, what is happening? It is the Ron. And what did the Ron do today? The Rondu. Well, the Rondu went
looks
to
like he's
San
adopted
Diego's
his
Comic-Con,
name.
The largest gathering of pop culture, comic books, anything that has to do with anything in San Diego, California. And let me tell you something, for the freaking 4 hours we actually got to see everything, it was cool. Let me tell you, traffic from L.A. to San Diego on the 5, it took us a good 3 hours to get to the freaking thing. You know, my buddy got me at 11 o'clock. It was 2:30 by the time we got down there. I told him, man, we could have been halfway to Vegas by the time we got down to here. So we got in there. It was worth it, though. It was worth it. But I tried so hard. I wanted to do updates for your show on my cell phone, but when I got in there, for some strange reason, my cell phone just took a shit on me. So,
okay.
I mean, I had Sergio Aragonis, the cartoonist for Mad Magazine. I'm sitting there looking at him and say, hey, would you mind doing me a promo for my buddy's podcast? And I'm sitting there looking like an idiot trying to dial your phone. It wouldn't work. Try to dial your voicemail, and it wouldn't work.
What's the thought that
counts?
That
was cool.
It's called digital recorders.
Boomer from Battlestar Galactica, the original.
Ooh,
Apollo was
original.
There. Sam J. Jones / Gordon.
Oh, hell yes.
Who else? Tiffany Taylor, Playmate, 1999. Got my picture with her.
Oh, hell yeah. I want
to
see that picture.
The guy played Jango Fett.
Oh, hell yeah. Jango.
They had a big promotional for Snakes on a Plane, basically walk into a snake's head and, they clips from the movie. Samuel Jackson was supposedly somewhere in the building, but like I said, we only
he doesn't
had 4 hours
to be seen
to
next
enjoy
to the
ourselves.
Standee
so
of the movie.
Waste it looking for anybody. All in all, it was a great show, guys, and I actually have a thought. Next year, July next year, when it's held again in San Diego, I'm thinking you three turkeys ought to come down. We all go down there and have fun. I figure
three.
Leaving.
He's leaving one of us out.
With Fire Miles has probably got enough to split with you and Bill.
It's
granted,
five,
maybe
including
he's
Foggy.
Nice enough to do it, and then we all go down there and have a good time. Maybe nowhere in Mulberry can be broadcast from San Diego's Comic-Con next year.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, it'd be a lot of fun, man.
Then we would get Sergio Aragonés on the show.
Hey, I'm going to E3 now.
Whoa, he's got a weird cell phone. Hell, it'd be great for us to go to Comic-Con together. Hell, it'd even be cool to go to the Podcast Expo. But, let's face it, that stuff's expensive.
I have a feeling I won't be able to make it this year, but I'm going to save up for next year for sure. I think we should all really kind of put money aside so that we can do the podcast and Comic-Con next year. I think it would be a blast.
How cool would it be to go if people knew who we were? Otherwise, wouldn't we just be going to walk around like dumbasses?
Yeah, but we're fans just like anyone else.
Right. What podcast are you a fan of, Bill?
None, other than this one. You know I don't listen to podcasts.
What about Mulberry After the Show? Have you ever caught that one?
Yeah, I have. You know, I really like what they're doing with that show.
Okay. Hey, guys, let's check out Entertainment!
Bored, man. Boredom's the first step on the road to relapse. Oh.
Alright guys, this week a new movie came out and it wasn't Lady in the Water, which has been universally panned. And I mean, I'm not kidding when I say this, everyone has given it a bad review.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I like all of M. Night's movies and I think critics just bash him for the hell of it.
There's definitely a backlash with this new movie. People say it's self-indulgent, he gave himself the most important part in the movie. It just, people are like, he needs to be reined in a little. Like, maybe Disney was right in telling him, hey, we don't see your vision here.
Well, I got my copy of The Man Who Heard Voices, or How M. Night Shyamalan Risked His Career on a Fairy Tale this week. So once I'm done reading The Witching Hour, I'm going to read it. So I really enjoy him as a director. I enjoy him as a writer. And I think a lot of these critics are just way too cynical.
It's possible, but I'll see it.
I think Richard Roper gave it 2.5 stars, but he said he really liked it. He said it's perfect for like an 8-year-old, so you have to really go in and suspend disbelief and like kind of let your childlike tendencies take over.
Wouldn't you say he's really painted himself into a corner? I think I've said this before, in fact, that with his previous films, people are expecting a kind of event thing. But this week, Steven and I went to see Clerks 2. And which is the sequel to...
Is that the peanut gallery clapping?
Yeah. That's Foggy. I guess Foggy. He really enjoyed the movie. Here's a clip of Clerks 2.
Have you and Myra had sex yet?
Well, not that it's any of your business, Randall, but she can't. You know how every girl's parents put a troll in them? Well, Myra is his name, Pillow Pants. And so if I put my thing in her, Pillow Pants will bite it off.
And Myra told you this?
Boyfriends and girlfriends talk to each other about sex stuff, Randall. You'd know this if you ever had a girlfriend.
Have you and Myra even kissed yet?
We would have already if it wasn't for Lister Fiend.
Lister Fiend is her mouth troll, isn't it?
Women.
Now that's Elias, and he's really funny too. I mean, I don't want to go into great detail on this. I mean, it's Clerks 2. It's just a series of comedic things happening. Yeah. The same theme is running through it. They used to be in their 20s, aimless, not knowing where their life was going. Now they're in their 30s, realizing...
But look like they're 40.
Yeah, realize they're getting older and older, and they've
they
got
still
nothing.
They've never accomplished anything.
Yeah, they work these crappy jobs. You know, what is it in life? And
sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'd say that I'm going through the same thing. But Dante, he's trying to settle on marrying a girl... He's,
for money.
He's not really in love with her. You know, she wants
her parents have lots of money. Dad's giving him a job.
Yeah, setting him up with a job, setting him up with a house. And he's like, yeah, this is what I should be doing at this age. And, of course, Randall doesn't want him to do that. In this scene, My Name is Earl visits. Let's check it out.
Guess who it is, Randall?
Randall Graves. You work here, too?
Jesus, anyone else from our graduating class back there? You know, I'll bet dollars to donuts when you two aren't fighting about who shot first, Han or Greedo, you can still muster up enough energy to make fun of other people.
Yeah, so hurry up and order and get out of here so we can make fun of you.
About a skinny cap with cheese and a Diet Coke.
I'll get your order. There you go.
Well, that was fast.
And fresh. Thanks.
What you don't see in that scene is he scoops ice out of a urinal and then puts some dead flies on his hamburger. What's funny about this movie, Bill, is, you know, Clerks 2, it doesn't have dynamic surround effects like an action movie. The surround rear speakers, what you hear is the door opening and shutting as customers are coming and going.
Which yeah, about, hear, yeah, the door moves when it opens.
Yeah, which you kept hearing it behind you. And that was like their surround effects. I thought it was hilarious. But I thought the movie was a lot of fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is very vulgar, of course. It's Kevin Smith.
Yes.
There's some of the humor is disgusting for most people.
Yeah,
I expect it.
Talks about one of Bill's favorite, A to M.
Oh, nice ass to mouth.
Yeah, there's a whole to-do about ass to mouth. There's a
anybody
lot of
walk out during the donkey show setup?
There was this bushy mustached guy who said, "This is the first damn movie I walked out in 30 years," and made a big to-do about it as he left. But besides that, I enjoyed the experience, and hell, I want to see it again.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
It's one of those things where you see a movie and you laugh through the whole thing, and then when it's over, you can't remember certain parts. You're like, what? Something was funny there, and I can't remember.
It's like I want to see it, but I hate seeing comedies in the theater because people are so freaking loud at times. You always have that one loud laugher. And
right.
It's like, shut up, man. I'm trying to hear the movie.
Like Max Cady behind you with his big old stogie. Hey!
There
annoying bastard. So definitely check out Clerks 2. I enjoyed it. Should I give it stars or anything like that? Or
Just give it a nod.
I'm going to give it 3. I like to kill deer.
I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer.
Yes.
Well, I'll probably either see it this week or download it. Who knows?
All right. Vanessa, you check it out, too. But I think this is Vanessa would find it hilarious, too. Vanessa has a sick sense of humor.
She's
just
vulgar.
Toilet humor.
Yes.
She's a potty mouth.
Yeah.
We know it.
All right, guys. Let's check out what's on our TiVos.
Great.
Really good stuff.
And now, a Mulberry News Break.
Cooper admitted to pleasuring himself near the children's section at the Berea Library.
Oh,
he
no.
was on a pornographic website at the time. It's a story we've been following since May. Today, Cooper was in court for sentencing. Carl Monday was there, too.
For nearly 2 months now, Michael Cooper has been trying to rebuild his life. After he was caught performing a sex act
after
an undercover Channel 3 investigation into library crime. But Berea Judge Mark Comstock ordered Cooper to 30 days in jail, to be imposed later this year. Cooper, however, will likely avoid jail if he remains on his best behavior. Cooper,
but if I
also
have anything
to
do with it,
probation,
he'll go.
Appeared angered and
yeah.
stormed from the courtroom. His attorney says he's
he
more
He seems to be really putting himself
else,
back together.
But
let's go tear his life to shambles again.
One of the conditions of Cooper's probation, he's not allowed to step foot at a public library. Or for that matter,
I don't think I'd want to go to a library again.
Where children might congregate.
To touch his penis anymore.
Because of the sensitivity of this story, we
you're not allowed
Cooper's
to masturbate for 6 months.
Client
no!
to make a brief statement after sentencing. She agreed. Apparently, Cooper didn't want any part of it. Cooper and his parents quickly escaped the courthouse through another door.
Michael, you didn't seem too happy about the sentence. Any comment?
Get the hell away from me!
I said get out of here.
Get the away from me!
Oh, dear.
As we attempted to leave, Cooper and his dad tried to get in the last word.
You too! Get the out of my face!
Get in there. Turn that off or I'll shove it.
Whoa.
Turn it
yeah.
off. Now, turn it off.
Seconds later,
he's a combat
police officer brought the incident under control.
Mr. Cooper, walk away from
Jeez.
Get him out of my face.
Walk away from him right now.
In Berea, Carl Monday, Channel 3 News.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot, Carl. Your work is done here. My work is done here.
The cop's telling him to walk away. We're trying. He keeps following us. Yeah. Jeez.
You know the part where Carl Monday said, as we tried to leave, the father wanted to have the last word. It's like, if you watch the video, it doesn't look like you're leaving.
No. And he's the father runs after him. It grabs the mic and tosses it like it's a grenade.
It's a potato masher.
They can make it so that in these libraries, why don't they have, like, lockable cubicles that people can go in?
You mean, so like, that, so they're allowed to masturbate? Just go ahead and let them?
No, you know what? For privacy, don't put the computers next to the children's section. Have a room where the computer is. You know, if somebody's acting up or doing that, put a camera in there, you know, so that you can tell what they're doing, and if they're doing something bad, kick them out.
That would be, you know, even if, like you said, a camera, and they'd say, a sign, this station is being monitored at all times
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
You can have the locked door, they can look at the porn if they want, but when they start touching themselves, then
sir,
out you go.
Sir, back. You've gone too far this time.
I mean,
but yeah, well, like if they want, I mean, if they say that they're not going to pass
the
law
the
to block the porn, you know, they're almost saying it's okay to look at it.
But it's so silly when Carl Monday says, and he's banned from libraries for 6 months or whatever. It's like, dude, I don't think the guy wants to go back to the library. It's like, we've really handed out some swift justice here. This
if
man
I
will
was,
not be checking out a book from a library anytime soon.
If I was Mike Cooper, I'd be looking over my shoulder at every time I did anything.
Yeah.
Because I'd be afraid that good old Carl Mustache Monday would be right there behind him.
Well, it's like he kind of egged him on there. He said, how does it feel not to be able to check out any choose-your-own-adventure books anytime soon? And he was like,
get the hell away from
me! I said,
me.
Get out of
here. So he was like totally egging him on because he knows those are his favorite kind
is
of books.
Is Mike
too.
Cooper?
No more Magic the Gathering books.
What I love is he says, Mike Cooper trying to put the pieces back together. And it's like, you know that he's sitting in the car. Okay, guys, let's piss them all off. Let's get his dad in my face. This is going to be great TV.
Let's
you guys.
Ambush him.
Let's totally ambush this guy.
It's like he's the one guy that walks in and knocks over a house of cards. It's like poor Mike Cooper's trying to put shit back together, and then Carl Monday just walks in.
Carl Monday anonymously sends him some pornography. He's like, do me a favor and look at this in public, would you?
Yeah, he's like Satan.
How's it feel? I mean, do you guys see any reason at all for Carl Monday to do that follow-up story at all?
No,
there's no reason. He should have never even went up to interview him.
Yeah, was there any point to getting it? How do you feel about your sentencing today? It's like, dude, leave me alone. He even says, get away from me, and runs away, and they obviously follow him all the way to the car.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, he knows his dad's going to get mad. The reason Carl Monday followed him is because it's great television for what he wants to do. He said, you know, he had his dad, I'm going to shove that up your boop and all that. It's genius.
He's a prick.
He is. He's a son of a bitch. Speaking of son of a bitch, did anyone watch America's Got Talent?
No.
Now, you had plenty of chances because apparently NBC shows this show like every night now, you know, just to fill in gaps. And I was watching a little bit of it. You know, they have wacky contestants who think they have talent. And of course, none of them do. This first one is some kind of yogi. Hey, yogi.
Like a transcendental meditation kind of guy?
Yeah, he's called the Laughing Yogi, and he wants to inspire everyone with his act. Let's check it out.
Breathe, love, and laugh. When you're driving car, say, I'm happy, I'm relaxed. I'm happy, I'm relaxed. I'm happy, I'm relaxed. I'm happy, I'm relaxed. Telephone. Ha, hello. Ha, 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 ha. Look at the power.
Shut up. Jesus Christ, you're annoying. Thank God.
Yeah, so that's the Laughing Yogi. But it gets
screw those buzzers. Somebody needs to take a bat to that guy.
Just start breaking his legs with a baseball bat.
They just need to pull back those giant yeah. hooks again.
Instead of a hook, it's a scythe. Chops them in half. Like intestines go everywhere. That'd be awesome.
Never heard anything such irritating.
Now, it gets worse than that, though, Bill. They had a bird caller woman on the show. Let's check it out.
Oh, terrific.
I do bird calling.
Oh.
Bird calling?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you do that?
Well, really, honestly, calling the birds. I start, and then they answer me.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
What are they saying? Oh, good luck.
Thank you. Go, girl.
I think that spring has come again. Springtime's the time to bird call again.
Ooh, a bobolink. But over here,
what?
At 5, there's a flash of red. It's a cardinal.
Please make it stop. Yes.
Sharon. What the hell was that? I was looking for the birds like an idiot. Like looking for the birds. Like
hell, if you're an idiot.
Obviously, there aren't birds in here.
So I'm imitating if there were birds in here.
Oh!
That's talent.
Are you on medication?
Oh.
You should be.
Thank you.
Sharon, can I just ask you something?
Yes.
Did you get off the wrong bus and come to the studio by mistake today? The only bird
I
could think
of... Just pick on the lady with Alzheimer's.
...was the cuckoo.
She's like, I don't know where I am. It's this lady with Alzheimer's who's shaking, and they're, like, making fun of her. Oh, big man there. There's a nice place in hell waiting for you.
You clever British prick.
They need to have the definition of talent hanging over the stage. This is what talent is. If this isn't you, do not come here on the stage. But that's not what they want. What they want is for you to go and make an ass out of yourself. That's the part of the show that's entertaining.
Right.
It's not, hey, this guy's really got talent. This is fascinating. That's not what the show is about at
all.
Yeah,
they're looking to capture the American Idol jackasses, people who can't sing.
Yeah, someone went up to Simon Cowell, and they said, the best part of your show is when people are making ass of themselves when they're trying to sing. We need to make a show where people think they can do stuff and they can't. So let's do that.
But so. Some of it is just so, even so far out there. It's not even that it's funny. It's almost sad.
It is. That lady was really sad. She was this lady who was calling fake birds out.
You should have just said,
She did probably escape from some kind of mental institution to be on the show.
It's like, you know, we're not really looking for that. You know, we're looking for talent. You know, so,
yeah. Well, they should have just shot her after it was done. Now, another show that's fantastic is called Rockstar Supernova.
They should have took her in the back like Lenny. We're gonna take care of the rabbits.
They even do that where the camera goes backstage where someone about
you
to go on.
Crying.
Sometimes you see them like giving each other five. Come on, guys, let's go out there. And they go out, and then it buzzes immediately. And then it shows them, their feelings hurt. But that's what it's all about. It's about destroying the human heart.
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
Yes,
thank you. All right, Rockstar Supernova. I don't watch the show. I don't want to watch the show.
I actually watched it last week.
Now, I watched it again for... Steven was talking about the old chick, Delana, who's kind of really scary, hardcore
she
looking.
She is frightening.
But apparently they love her. And here's a performance she did, and it blew them all away.
It was horrible.
Awesome. Oh, she's yodeling.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
I love you too. Oh, wait.
You know, every week I look for that one performance that's the one that gives you chills, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that on television. That was it.
Oh, you must not watch a lot of TV. Tommy Lee says, Delana.
I wanna.
So anyway, that's the show. Now, this week on Last Comic Standing, did they do some kind of weird helicopter gag where they were all flying in the helicopter or something?
Yeah.
I've got a clip of that. Let's check it out.
Mayday, mayday, we're going down. We're going down.
And of course, what it reveals is Josh Blue flying the helicopter. And he's like, all like, oh.
The hell, a rescue helicopter is crying.
Son of a bitch.
Nice. Wherever I can use it. Yeah, Steven
that was funnier than it was on the show.
Steven was in Last Comic Standing. So you got a royalty check coming, Steven. Now, who is this chick, Roz?
She's the big lady.
With the bit freaky hair.
Okay, well, here's Roz's act. Let's check it out.
She's frightening.
My biggest problem when I was on the airplane getting here. Anybody been on the airplane? You ever went in that bathroom on the airplane? Soon as I got in there, I went and used the bathroom. And then when it's time to wipe my ass, I said, Lord, what I'm going to do? I can't get to my ass.
You know what?
That's not a mental image I want to have.
She's my pick. I want her to win.
Oh, really? you want a large woman with a dirty ass to win?
Yes, she's a genius.
What blows me off?
I can't get to my
part
ass.
I don't like about her is her screaming.
She is a bit of a loud talker there.
No, she screams everything.
I can't get to my ass.
All right, Foggy. So that's Last Comic Standing. How many people are left on the show now?
Five. Well, five. Now.
That's some good humor, not being able to reach your ass humor.
Yeah.
How was Hell's Kitchen this week?
It was a little bland.
No, it was a little bland, but Bill put together a nice, melange of Ramseyisms from the show. Let's check it out.
Come here, you.
What in the f*** is that?
What is this? Get me a duck salad, now!
What is going on? Are you blind?
No, sir.
What is that? I don't know what the you're doing.
Me neither, sir.
That is not going anywhere, Missy.
Okay.
Except in the bin.
Yes, sir.
Where is the lamb?
It's working,
I'm about
sir.
To send the third table of entrees on the blue team.
Yes, sir.
And I still haven't got a lamb out
from
the red team.
Yes, sir.
And it's turning into be a big embarrassment.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to kick you out any minute now unless you get me a
Yes, Lord.
Dara,
sir.
Come here, Missy.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you're colorblind or you've got a problem with your contact lenses. That is blood. Look, it's blood. They want it medium. It's still rare.
Yes, sir.
There's blood everywhere.
Say how many real horror.
Haven't sent an entree from the red team.
Yes, sir.
Take the lamb off the menu. Stop it. I don't give a flying Don't dare cook any more lamb. Jean-Philippe has taken so much flack on the back of your inconsistency. Can we just cut the salmon into a slice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consistency?
Don't dare. Don't dare.
Just being a little sarcastic there.
Fat mouth, little
Yes, chef.
You're pissing around with something that's not working.
Yes, chef.
Have that clicked?
Yes, chef.
It's bread! Just stop.
Wow.
He's absolutely in the right when he rips into these people because they're completely incompetent. These people know nothing, and he is trying to teach them. And they ignore everything he says.
Yeah. Is it like when they're going, yeah, okay, and they're not even listening?
Yeah.
They want him to just go away. You know,
you can't do anything but get frustrated that these people, you're trying to help them, and they just... It's like that Sarah. She comes back with consistency.
I think he knows what he's talking about. I mean, you don't want to... It's like he's trying to teach you and you're trying to teach him or something.
Yeah.
I don't give a flying...
Yeah, I don't give a flying bleep either. Man, that's pretty crazy with all the blood, wasn't it?
That is blood. Look, it's blood. There's blood everywhere.
Blood.
So how much...
I like how he says that to her, like... Can you not understand that this is blood? It's
what
blood
is that?
All right, guys, so that's Hell's Kitchen. Now, before we get into Entourage, there's a new show coming on Sci-Fi, and it's called Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
I saw a commercial for this.
Hosted by Stan Lee. Stan the Man Lee. So I guess you win, your superhero becomes what?
Comic book or something?
Win a TV show, a comic book? I don't know, but let's check this out.
I want to be a superhero.
I want to be a
superhero. Superhero.
I am Mullet Man.
Do you have any weaknesses? Any kryptonite, so to speak?
Hair care products, such as hair gel or hairspray, gets my hair all nappy and renders it useless. Wow.
I should have guessed that.
I have the ability to beat up bullies who tease fat people.
Is there something that you shout in the midst of battle?
Fat mama, fat mama. I'm here to save the day. Fat mama, fat mama.
Your God,
I'll take your food away.
is that wrong?
Dangerous. Yeah, that's wrong. She can't be on two shows.
I'm also in fear of my mother being a Jewish superhero.
Okay.
I was bored with my hairy ass, and I didn't discover until I put on the costume. Suddenly, it came to life.
I imagine this is what you do when you're up against a supervillain.
Basically, I just sort of shake my
butt. Is Stanley on the phone in the show?
That's about as much as
I think
I need
he wishes
to know.
He was.
He's got to be on like a closed circuit TV, so he's not actually in the room with these morons.
Be a winner, not a wiener.
Next.
For distraction purposes, I like to fight topless.
Thank you very much for coming.
No,
you may
thank
walk
you
slowly
for coming,
if you
Stan.
Wish.
I can't get to my ass!
Well, that is Roz. I knew it.
Fat mama. Fat mama. I'm here to save the day.
Okay, isn't an
Stanley.
Isn't an advertisement for a show supposed to get you to watch it?
Yeah,
not go, good lord, that looks horrible.
It looks like they highlighted all the worst moments.
are they also trying the American Idol?
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's have people embarrass themselves. That's what TV
guy on there too?
I didn't see a single good idea there. There's going to be one guy who's, I invented my own cyborg. It's like, holy crap.
Eugene Bot.
Yes, genius. You know what? That would be a perfect show for Eugene to use his creative skills to go on TV and then make an ass out of himself. Don't you guys think?
Yup.
You know what about me?
I miss Eugene. Where is he gone?
Damn it!
All right, guys. Entourage this week. What'd you guys think? Good entourage. It looks like Vince has totally screwed himself because, remember last week, he told the Warner head that he'd only do Aquaman 2 as if he got $20 million. Now, this week, you come to find out that they're not going to give him $20 million, but how about $12 million, which is a pretty good price because his original was, what, $7
million? Yeah.
And so they're offering him 12. But, of course, Vince, he's on this kick. And, you know, I can't disagree with him. When someone lies to you, he doesn't trust him anymore. When someone goes against their word, when he promised Vince, he doesn't want to have anything to do with the guy.
They promised he could do Medellin.
But he's also being really naive because it's not like he's back east.
Right.
He's in Hollywood.
That's what Ari's trying to tell him. Ari's trying to tell him, this is Hollywood. This is the way the business works. Sometimes people break their word. And the episode starts out great where Drama's playing the Godfather video game. And Drama, I guess he was in the game. And he was like, hey, that's the only time you get to work with an Academy Award winner. I love he's sitting there playing. He sees himself on the screen. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, and it's like it's going through the whole Marlon Brando thing. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the digital Drama. And he goes, thanks, bro.
<He's> like, what? That was great. Vince has given Ari a hard time where he won't even answer the phone. He won't even talk to the guy.
He'll talk to him if as soon as Drama gets apart.
Yeah, and there's this great scene where, he, you know, after the millionth time he's tried to get a hold of him, he's like, hey, I'm not talking to you till you get me apart. You know, Drama is saying this, and this is what Ari does.
Lloyd, do you have Vince?
No,
I have drama, and he says that he's been authorized to tell you that Vince will not speak to you until he, drama, has a job.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really. Question. No locks at staff meetings now, Ari?
Cost cutting until we get into the new offices. There will be locks in the new year, trust me. Until then, enjoy the gourmet chicken salad. Anyway, people, staff meeting has been canceled. You all have one goal today, to get Vincent Chase's brother, Johnny Chase, a job. Any job. I don't care if it's a porn shoot in which he is being gang raped by a gaggle of silverback apes. If there are cameras rolling, everybody wins. $10,000 to anyone that can deliver this to me today.
Can I vie for the $10,000 prize also, Ari?
Sure, but you'll get paid in yen. Now try E one more time.
Sure, he's so mean to that guy. Who did they end up offering Medellin to? Benicio del Toro.
Benicio.
So he doesn't have the part anymore. And the Warner's head is like, okay, you know, all is forgiven. I just want Vince to have breakfast with me tomorrow. Meanwhile, during all of this, Eric and his girlfriend are going to have a menage a trois with another girl. That's basically what this episode is about, other than what's going on. And everyone's telling him what he needs to do. And, of course, there's rules where Eric can't have sex with a girl. He can just watch them and all this stuff. And
yeah, there was a great scene at the Hustler adult store where they're going through stuff. And Turtle gets this big strap on. And he's like, hey, you make sure she wears this.
Yeah, there's nothing saying that she can't do her. So basically what happens is Vince doesn't show up for the breakfast, and Eric finds out the next day. They offered Aquaman 2 to who, Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
By the next day.
So, I think Ari says, broke back Aquaman.
Yeah. So he's totally screwed them. And when I started thinking about that, he didn't really want to do Aquaman 2 anyway. Michael Bay was doing it. Kevin Smith was writing it.
Yeah.
And he had all these other offers, like playing the retarded guy. Do you remember all those other scripts he turned down to do Medellin? So I don't think, unless they show the Warner's guy is going to make his life hell, like you can't work with this guy, you know, blacklisted or whatever. Have you noticed how short Entourage is? It's like
too short.
It's like it's over. Just like that. It's like 24 minutes long.
Right.
This is HBO. 20, they could do a 30-minute show.
24 minutes and 57 seconds.
It always ends too short. But I guess they want us to leave wanting more.
Yeah.
So
and it works.
Yeah, we always can't
wait to see. They always have a great final scene that makes you go, oh, I can't wait till next Sunday.
Yeah,
yeah, they've got that great grabber at the end. Yeah.
Right. So I guess, you know, it's interesting because when we're on the outside looking in at Vince's life, he's a movie star. Maybe that's a lot of Amara. He's kind of like, he doesn't care about money.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about the Hollywood guys, the suits or whatever. He doesn't want to get stressed out over it, you know?
That's what he has Eric for, and it just shows how much he depends on Eric, you know, to be his manager, because what happened in the episode wouldn't have happened if Eric wasn't off doing his menage a trois with Emmanuel Chikri and the blonde chick.
So it'll be interesting seeing what happens next week. Now, Big Brother All-Stars, we have this to talk about. Wasn't a very exciting week. It hasn't been a very exciting season. I'm still waiting for something to happen. Now, during all of this nothing happening, Howie decided to teach Chicken George the Jedi way. Let's check that out.
Fear is not accepted in this dojo, is it?
No.
Pain
Jedi have
is
dojo?
Not accepted in this dojo, is it?
Well, it depends on how much, Howie.
Right, it does depend on how much. Chicks are accepted in this dojo, aren't they, Georgie? America, thanks for voting Erica back. She's got a great rack.
Keep your guard up at all times as a Jedi.
Or you get voted off of a TV show.
Yeah, that can be a tremor in the Force.
Has Howie even seen any Star Wars movies? He just makes up stuff.
Yeah, he just makes up the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life.
But this week, Nokomis was kicked off the show. I'm sure you weren't too upset about that, were you, Bill?
No, I can't stand her.
In fact, when she got voted off, I heard you doing this sound.
Yeah, that was me.
Crazy yogi. So anyway, she's off the show, and James is the new HOH. So let's see what happens next week. Crazy stuff, Steven. Steven, are you going to keep watching Big Brother?
No.
You're done? You're done. Okay.
I'm about to be done, too.
No, guys, come on. Let's hold this together, guys.
Yeah, you know, the producers are really getting desperate and whipping out the booze a lot lately.
Yeah. They're like, okay, it's boring in the house. Let's get them all drunk.
It was way boring. I mean, I tuned in and I tuned right out.
Yeah, I got to admit, it's horrible this season.
Now, Bill, here's what happened. Last week was lightning in a bottle. They did not expect the house to become so divided with people, you know, fans were watching it because they were rooting for one side, people rooting for the other. Everyone hated each other. They tried to do that again this year with the good versus evil, and that's not happening. These people were on the show before.
Yeah,
they don't hate each other.
Yeah.
They know what happens when you come out of the house and what, you know, they know that everyone sees everything they do in the house now. You know, it's more in your head. They're not going to do anything real stupid. So a lot of times, like Mike Boogie and Will, they know they're on TV all the time, and they're always performing. And they even did that annoying crap where they went in the diary room together, like, hey, we're still here, and just made asses out of himself. They just can't recapture what happened last year. They can't make it happen. Because it's not going to. In fact, they even have all talked on the show how they've all been to parties together. They all hang out. They're friends with each other. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you don't know who has a secret alliance.
But at this point, it doesn't matter what kind of alliance anyone has. One thing that I think is funny about shows like this or Survivor, you make it about, we got to get him out this week. They never think about the week after where they're a target or there's someone else. It can never calm down and, you know, you got to vote someone out every week.
Yeah, that's
the one thing I thought was really bizarre about the entire thing was I was watching the feeds this week and I found out that Dr. Will approached James and said, listen, I need to get out of here if I'm not going to win this thing because I can't afford going into sequester. So you got to get me out before the people go into sequester.
Yeah, I heard that
because
too.
I've got my dermatology practice. I've got my girlfriend. I don't want to be locked away for a few weeks.
He even said the producers promised me this would be incredible. They had all these different things planned. It was going to be really different. So far, none of that. So I just want to get out of here.
Yeah, they're all waiting for something to happen, and nothing's happening.
What is going to happen? You know,
I think the producers just blew smoke up their ass.
I think it would be cool if they let, like, the undead on the outside where they have to survive.
Like gorillas gang rape them?
Like, Big Brother All-Stars.
They could let Roz in the house.
Yeah.
I can't get to my ass!
Yeah.
No.
So that's Big Brother this week. Let's see what happens next.
Survey says!
Yeah, it's a Family Feud.
I love that.
Fat mama, fat mama, I'm here to save the day.
Thank you. Hey, I forgot to mention a couple of shows that I'd been watching. Like there's The Brotherhood on Showtime.
Eureka.
Which is a great show. Eureka premiered this week on Sci-Fi Channel. Did anyone watch that?
I missed that.
No. I downloaded it and watched it. I think it's got... it could be good.
Yeah,
this episode wasn't, but it could be good.
It was a setup episode, you know, and it has a good premise, so they could build on that, is what I was thinking.
I ended up downloading those new Nightmares and Dreamscape.
Now, on Nightmares and Dreamscape, the first episode last week, I loved, with William Hurt, where he's battling army men and stuff. That was really cool. I still haven't watched the second episode, but this week's episodes were bad. I didn't like them at all. I mean, don't get me wrong, they were well done, great actors, but the stories, why would anyone want to adapt these stories? And also, 30 Days comes back this week, and I know you love that Morgan Spurlock guy, Bill, so check that out.
He's hard to look at.
Something about him. He has, like, this arrogance about him. Like, I'm really helping people. I am a terrific person.
I guess,
like,
people are watching it because they did get a second season.
This is what I want to know. Is there any way anyone could do a show like this without coming off that way, though?
The thing that makes it even worse is how horribly edited the things are. It's like they shoot the thing, and then he edits to how he want it to come out. There's been people from the last season that have done interviews and basically said, this is completely taken out of context, this never happened, this was changed, this was... so it's not, you're not getting what's really going on.
Well, let's do this year, Bill. Let's watch each episode, and then we'll both give our opinions on what we think's happening. What we think of it.
That's what I want to do.
We could do like Nancy Grace and Elizabeth Smart.
Oh, gosh, that was painful.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
All right, Vanessa, ready to do the news? All right, Vanessa, what do you got this week?
A Chinese headmaster who tried to buy off colleagues by frying dog meat for them after secretly selling off trees around the school.
He's a nice guy. Let's do it.
Ended up setting fire to classrooms when the meat burst into flames.
Oh, dear.
10 classrooms containing televisions, computers, printers, and textbooks burned down, leaving nearly 100 children unable to go to school. The headmaster in the northern province of Heilongjiang sold off 1,000 sold off 1,000 tree arboretums surrounding the school.
1, 2, 3. Go ahead and eat it.
You know you're just asking for it, Vanessa, when you do Asian stories.
He sold this 1,000 tree arboretum on the sly. In order to get teachers not to tell anyone what he had done on that afternoon of May 16th, Headmaster Meng got friends to obtain 2 dogs, which they proceeded to kill on the school grounds. He then told his mother they had dog meat to eat that afternoon. But the plan went awry when the dog being cooked burst into flames and set fire to the school's main office.
An exploding dog.
Just a greasy dog.
I love hot dogs. They're slamming.
So he basically got fined about $1,200 and got fired. No pun intended. All right.
Hot dogs are slamming.
Colin Farrell doesn't want to see a repeat of his latest Tonight Show appearance. The Miami Vice star requested a restraining order Friday against the woman who unexpectedly joined him and Jay Leno on stage while they taped an interview for Thursday's show. Desiree Bradford, who unsuccessfully sued Farrell for $5,000 last year for allegedly bombarding her with unwanted communiques, managed to say something that no one else could catch to Farrell before he took her by the elbow and escorted her toward awaiting security. By request of NBC, she wasn't arrested, but was warned that if she returned to the site, she'd be nabbed for trespassing.
The cuckoo.
Before making her grand exit, Bradford also left a copy of her self-published tell-all, Colin Farrell, a dark, twisted puppy, on Jay Leno's desk, which could make a nice companion piece to her other book, My SM Romp with Alec Baldwin.
What the hell? Is it just totally just making up weird stuff?
Yeah, I think she's psycho. Like Farrell, Baldwin denied ever meeting the now 31-year-old woman. I'm concerned that her harassing behavior has escalated and may pose an immediate threat to my well-being and the well-being of my family.
Come here, you fat-mouthed little...
My Donkey Punch Adventures with Dustin Diamond.
So she can just get up on stage. She could easily bust a cap in his ass.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. He was afraid because he has a 2-year-old son and, you know, his girlfriend.
Get the hell away from me!
I said get out of here.
And that's great. What kind of security do they have on the Tonight Show?
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, you almost got shivved in the back there.
I think it's Carl Monday's brother, Monday, who does the security there. Sorry, that was bad.
Boo.
Monday.
Mrs. Bradford filed numerous harassing lawsuits against Colin Farrell and left threatening voicemails for his attorney. She also accosted him at the Tonight Show on July 20th, 2006, throwing books into his lap. So,
I've never been assaulted with books before.
Accosted with
you
books.
You really should read more. Visit your local library.
Yeah, there was
this is
really
a PSA.
Librarian. Must have been the librarian that turned Mike Cooper in.
All right, speaking of another stalker, she says she was looking for a little serendipity, but instead wound up on the wrong end of John Cusack's restraining order. Speaking to reporters for the first time since the Say Anything heartthrob, I love how they put that, scored a
serendipity, Say Anything, can they fit one more movie drop in
what
there?
What a clever writer.
He scored a keep-away order against her. Emily Leatherman says she is a no-stalker and did not engage in any of the behavior outlined
Chunk
in
fuck.
Cusack. Per his restraining order request, the 31-year-old Los Angeles homeless woman had deluged Cusack with love letters for nearly 18 months, with several missives purportedly claiming that she would harm herself if the actor failed to respond.
A lying fat ass.
She'd
and
be better off dead anyway.
Yeah.
Cusack gets those letters and then he's like, God, I hope she kills herself.
Well, according to John Cusack, he thought, when he went to court, he claimed that Leatherman had engaged in harassing behavior that, in addition to unsolicited love notes, including throwing long letters of interest over my fence in bags with rocks and screwdrivers inside, and showing up unannounced at the offices of several of his business associates in an attempt to meet him.
That's one crazy summer he's been having, Stephen.
You know, the lady ended up being his little-known sister, Amy Cusack.
She says, I feel I've been set up to look like a stalker who's staying with friends and currently does not have a listed address of her own.
That's happened to Bill before, hasn't it?
The strange behavior.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, he was stalking John Cusack, too.
No, Joan Cusack.
That damn Nelson from The Simpsons keeps stalking me.
I think Yoda's after you, too.
I want to fuck him.
Damn it, Pat O'Brien, I told you not to call me anymore.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
I don't want to get any coke. I don't want a hooker. I don't want to get crazy.
In Philadelphia, the city said it will evict a Boy Scout council from its publicly owned headquarters or make the group pay a fair rent price unless it changes its policies on gays. As you currently know, they are the third largest and have been battling the city for more than 3 years over the policy which states that gay leaders are forbidden in the Boy Scout organization.
Really?
Yeah, they will. If you are not allowed to be a Boy Scout.
Footlong.
And they're trying. You know, the city is saying it violates city law and policy, and that it's discriminatory, which it is really.
Yeah,
but it's a private organization.
Yeah, but you know, it's the Boy Scouts. You know.
So. You automatically assume because they're gay, they're going to be a pedophile?
Would you be comfortable sending your daughter to the Girl Scouts if she had a lesbian leader?
Why? Yeah, sure, why not? She doesn't make her a pedophile.
No, I'm not saying that. But
you're equating someone's sexual orientation with a pedophilia. It doesn't make sense.
No, I think what Bill is saying is...
It's not equating it with pedophilia, it's equating it with...
The influence.
No, I think what... the influence... You're going to turn my kid gay. No, I think what Bill is saying is you can't be surprised that someone would react this way. Even though I don't feel that way, I can understand why people would get mad about it.
That's just
there are plenty of people. There are plenty of people out there that aren't accepting of alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know what? Then let those people pull their kids out if they have a gay leader and they don't like punish
what you
the
don't
leaders.
Understand, Vanessa, is that the people that have kids in Boy Scouts are those religious conservative types that aren't going to go, okay, if there's a gay leader, they'll pull all their kids out and there will be no Boy Scouts.
Right.
You know, so it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was founded
as a...
Eugene has an issue with it, too.
Well, Eugene is an eagle leader. Or an eagle scout.
Eagle
scout
is
whatever.
Rubbing against my manhood.
Hey,
would you want that type of person to be a scout?
I'd rather have a gay than Eugene.
Yeah. And the gays do tend to be very creative.
Yeah. All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
All right. David Hasselhoff's superstar status as a singer hasn't carried over to America, but he says, if it happens, it happens. I'm a big punching bag.
It won't happen. And it won't happen.
He told the Television Critics Association summer meeting Friday, I just kind of go with the flow. I never really desperately tried to break this market. Yeah, right.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
The 54-year-old actor is best known in the States for his TV hits. I love that term. Baywatch and Knight Rider.
What about Baywatch Nights?
Oh, gosh.
No.
Survey says
no.
No.
He currently co-stars with Adam Sandler in the movie Click and is a judge on the NBC reality series America's Got Talent.
Now, does a cameo count as starring in?
I don't know. Okay. Hasselhoff said his new single, Jump in My Car, is headed toward the top 10 on the British
charts.
That's
new? I thought that was, like, old. When I saw that video that David Hasselhoff did, I thought that was, like, something back from the 80s that he did.
No,
that
is
new.
That's recent.
Really?
Really?
Wow. Okay, go ahead, Vanessa. Sorry.
Hasselhoff is still recovering after severing a tendon in his right arm last month in an accident in London. Did you hear how he did this? He was
excessive
shaving.
Masturbation.
Yeah, he was shaving when he hit his head on a lamp and it broke. A piece came down and sliced four tendons in an artery. The good news is it didn't hit a major nerve. He had some nerve damage but can still use it.
I had a clip of him on Leno. Let's check this out.
Hit the trendy little lamp, came down on my head, and went, oh, that's okay. And sliced my wrist.
Wow.
And I cut four tendons and an artery.
You
got
your
honor. Yeah, but it's like a Monty Python movie because I'm completely
You know, it
kind of
reminds
naked.
Me of that. Like, one of those like movies, going, Final help, Destination.
Help, help. And then yeah. Out and this
Death was
out
trying
and
to take his life.
Death wasn't a fan of jumping my car.
Yeah, you've escaped death this time, Hoff. Maybe not next time. I'm going to ride on this roller coaster. Did you hear Jay Leno? He's like, really?
Yeah, well,
I'm very concealing.
The fact that he was shaving naked.
Yeah.
Is it really? You were shaving naked, huh?
Yeah.
That reminds me of that time that Chip Mularchuk got his throat slashed. The hockey goalie.
Uh-huh.
You ever see that?
Yeah, it's gruesome.
Yeah, that's nasty. You hit those major arteries, like the carotid.
It's like a gallon of blood is on the ground in no time.
Instantly, yeah.
All right, Vanessa.
Well, there's just one thing I want to add. I saw this story about Las Vegas has this big thing, I guess, every year, the Swingers Convention.
Oh, boy.
And, well, it's talking about this woman, Vera Rhodes, who was
gang
raped
by a gaggle of silverback apes.
Who was brought up in the Pennsylvania Amish community. But where there, she was a virgin till she was married at the age of 30. But now, at 54, she's a member of the million-strong swinging community who speaks openly of their encounters with multiple sexual partners.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rock on. There is nothing better than a sexually oppressed teenager that whenever they get out in the world, they just want it all.
She's 54. Mm-hmm. 54.
Yeah, and... but she grew up in a very...
Repressed.
That's
group.
Usually seems to be the thing. People who are the most repressed rebel.
Haven't you guys ever heard of Rumspringa that the Amish people go through?
Rumshaker?
Rumspringa, as I believe is
all
the
I want to do is it's a zoom zoom.
No, when you when you're in the Amish church or whatever it's called. When you're in the Amish religion, there's a certain age where you can go out and explore the world.
Right.
The only catch is you got to come back. You can do whatever. You can do drugs, hookers, coke, all that stuff.
Hang out with Pat O'Brien.
You can, you know, just get, you know, you can do anything you want, any vice, but come back to the church, you've done it. And I think it's a genius idea. It's called Rumspringa.
Oh, I thought you said Humzinger.
Yeah.
What was well, that? Humzinger. The Mormons have that as well. My friend, her family were all Mormons, and she was telling me about that. When I can't remember what age it is. I think maybe 18 or 19, or maybe it's older, where they're allowed to go out. I think they get 2 years, though.
Okay, Vanessa, what else you got?
Well, I was just going to say with the story with the swingers, because you were talking about All Right, they said that over 40% of the swingers in the swinging community are usually middle-aged, and they're usually not...
Almost there. Yeah, how come they do that? They, you know, like HBO or whatever, they'll have a documentary about nudists. It's like, not attractive people.
Yeah, it's really
scary.
Yeah,
nudists generally aren't the ones you want to go see.
Yeah, do not want to see these people naked.
That's all I've got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. Thanks a lot.
Okay. The cuckoo.
Hey, what are you trying to say? The news just wouldn't be the news without some cult news. What do you think, Bill?
I would have to agree with that.
All right, cult news. What do you got this week?
Four stories. Survey says. Four stories all have to do with... Well, three have to do with Scientology, because you just gotta love them.
Stop. You know, I gotta tell you this, Bill, that War of the Worlds is on in the background here on the TV, so perfect!
Yes. Scientology is really desperate. They're losing a lot of their members.
No.
A lot of weirdness going on within the ranks, so they're targeting some new people. Thanks to Tom Cruise's year of living insanely and the outstanding work of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the loopier tenets of Scientology have now become fairly common knowledge. Xenu, body thetans, the evil...
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
They've popped out of the cult closet and into our pop culture. The church is spinning madly to counter the freakier aspects of Scientology scriptures, often simply lying about Hubbard's insane ramblings. I've heard Mike Rinder actually deny that there are any extraterrestrial elements to Scientology, and yet I found them in Hubbard's books. I've heard them say that you can be any religion and be a Scientologist, yet there is Hubbard on the Philadelphia lecture tapes uttering the phrase, "The man on the cross, there was no Christ." And so it is with Hubbard's rampant homophobia. They completely deny any proscription of homosexuality, even though it is printed in Hubbard's own infallible words. So now, this is really creepy, they are going to start a new group called the Clear Rainbow, which is the West Hollywood gay edition of Hubbard's...
He's really flaming!
...omnipresent pamphlet, The Way to Happiness. Their attempt to spin Hubbard's intolerant ignorance is hilarious. Some of them work valiantly to make it okay to be gay Scientologists.
What do you mean by that?
This results in a rather liberal pick-and-choose interpretation of L. Ron's works, a major no-no in Scientology. So they are extremely desperate to get people in, so they're basically... desecrating the word of L. Ron Hubbard and bringing these evil homosexuals into Scientology.
If you have an organization that you need as many people as you can get, you should invite everyone.
Okay, wait a second.
Why wouldn't you? They all have money.
Wait a second. Now you're contradicting yourself with the Boy Scout story. The gays.
They need to make Scientologists Boy Scouts.
Yeah. You know what? I think that would work.
Huh? Huh? Say something.
So now Scientology is going to become a big old gay OT love fest.
Sounds good.
Next stories have to do with the Surrey Circus.
Oh, dear.
Whoever's running the operation at Camp Cruise is either the greatest showbiz marketing genius of our time or certifiably insane, or as things often go in Hollywood, a pleasant mix of both. The Surrey Circus is approaching a fever pitch frenzy with paparazzi and celebrity watchers frothing at the mouth trying to connect the mostly missing dots into some kind of discernible map of coherency. Currently, what we have is B-lister Leah Remini from King of Queens claiming to have not only seen Surrey up close and in the flesh, but to have actually laid hands upon the child.
Oh,
my God.
Can you imagine laying hands upon the Messiah of Scientology?
Are you on medication?
It says there are some questions about how a huge box office star like Tom Cruise became friends with a King of Queens TV actress. The only obvious, albeit symbiotic, connection is that they're both Scientologists.
No.
And that really says a lot about their friendship and the veracity of her statements. The statements that read like a publicity stunt, too, I might add. Remini told People magazine, "She's a beaming baby. She looks like Tom and Katie. She's just beautiful."
Oh, it sounds very generic.
Yeah. So I'm sure the baby exists. You know, I've heard all of the, well, she doesn't exist thing. But it's just the absolute nuttiness of Scientology and the whole keeping the baby away from people so they don't develop any engrams.
The things that they try to eliminate. Right, they don't want the baby to become infected with...
Yeah.
But the one thing that I don't understand, and I've never understood this, but there's probably an audience for it, it's just my stupidity. Paparazzi cannot wait to get a picture of newborn babies of stars.
Right.
Because I guess someone somewhere wants to see the baby.
Well, sure,
I couldn't give a rat's ass.
A bunch of locked-in, overweight house frows that have nothing to do
struggling
with the insider and Access Hollywood.
Right.
Fat mama, I'm here to save the day.
So Fat Mama wants to see the pictures of Suri, apparently.
Yeah, Suri. And speaking of Cruise, he's trying desperately to rekindle and repair his friendship with Steven Spielberg.
What do you mean by that?
Possibly including a surprise private photo session featuring the two men and baby Suri.
Oh.
Cruise also startled Spielberg by presenting him with an award during a
startled him? Did he go boo? Oh, Tom, what are you doing there?
You got to understand, this War of the Worlds stuff, when Tom went, you know, couch jumping and getting in a fight with Matt Lauer on
the Today
Show.
Thanks for derailing the movie, Tom.
Yeah, it really pissed Spielberg off and said, "Listen, you're freaking crazy. Get the hell away from me. I don't even want to do a movie with you again."
He said that too.
So, and that was only the first thing.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
The second thing we'll get into here in a second, but, you know, he shows up to give Spielberg an award during the Chicago Film Festival, and he wasn't very happy about that. But what's most interesting in this article is the rumors that Tom inadvertently or otherwise brought unwanted attention to a psychiatrist Steven Spielberg mentioned in Cruise's presence as having helped a family member through a rough patch. Cruise, representing his faith, as it were, has said this is about the science of psychiatry. You have to understand that with psychiatry, there is no science behind it, and to pretend that there is a science behind it is criminal. So that's his loopy thing on it. But
you don't know the history of psychiatry. Yeah. I do.
While Cruise denies any involvement in the subsequent Scientology protests outside the doctor's office, Scientology seems to rule the front lobe of Cruise's brain and recent actions, including perhaps his decision to sever his 14-year relationship with publicist Pat Kingsley for suggesting he not mix movie stumping with religion pimping. So Spielberg mentions this psychiatrist that helped the family, and then Cruise goes back to his Scientology cronies, and they end up protesting this doctor that's a family friend of Steven Spielberg.
Oh, man.
It's a pseudoscience.
So it's just really, he's just really weird. He's got a freaking loony, and Spielberg just wants nothing to do with him anymore.
I wouldn't blame him.
And yet, he can act the shit out of those movies. He was great in Last Samurai.
Oh, yoy. That was one of those movies that just did not need to be made.
I liked it.
I did too.
Really?
Yeah.
I found it boring.
Yes.
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
Okay, so next story is cultish, but it doesn't have to do with Scientology or Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Chainsaws.
Oh.
I thought that was a chainsaw for a second.
What the hell is that?
No, that's not a chainsaw.
It's a pissed off cat.
Yeah. Chainsaws and horror fans will be buzzing as a new musical comedy based on the San Raimi cult film Classics hit New York for an unlimited off-Broadway run this fall. Gen K LLC, Jeffrey Latimer Entertainment, and Just for Laugh Live presents The Killer Musical, which begins October 2nd at the New World Stages and opens November 1st. Evil Dead the Musical unearths the old familiar story. Reveals a press release. Boy and friends take a weekend getaway at abandoned cabin. Boy expects to get lucky. Boy unleashes ancient evil spirit. Friends turn into Candarian demons.
Candarian
demons. Sorry, I couldn't spit it out. Boy fights until dawn to survive. So
I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
So it says that the people that are doing it really loved it, and turning into a musical was the next logical step, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, how is that the next logical step?
You know what's logical? Just turn into a musical.
Yeah, I would check it out.
So I guess they're going to start with Evil Dead the Musical and then possibly move on to Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness.
Hey, I'm there.
Those will be the next logical steps.
Yeah.
And they're offering Splatter Zone tickets similar to a Gallagher show.
Oh, nice.
Some blood and gore splash.
The Squish-O-Matic.
Sweet.
Sledge-O-Matic.
The Sledge-O-Matic. Why do I always say Squish-O-Matic? But that's a good thing. I don't get too close to the Gallagher.
Yeah, you got to kind of distance yourself from Gallagher. Just like his brother, Gallagher too.
Yeah, they're touring on opposite sides of the world.
I'm going to see Gallagher. Are you? I'm going to see Gallagher too.
Jason prefers Gallagher
too. Monkey.
All right, Bill, what else you got?
That's cult news for this week. Nothing too depressing.
That's awesome. I like how you mixed in cult film as well.
Well, that's what cult news is all about.
It's about love.
Love of all things cultish.
The love of cult.
I think it's time to do the DVDs.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! DVDs!
Holy shit.
Hey!
No.
Survey says? That just sounds
we
so much
buzz.
Like that Survey Says buzz.
That is blood. Look, it's blood. It's
blood. Blood. It's blood. All right, Bill, what do you got the DVDs this week?
All right, we're doing DVDs for, let's see here, July 25th, 2006.
Really?
Really. let's start off with a film that some people like, but most people hate. It's called Nine Songs. It's a film directed by Michael Winterbott. Live performances by Franz Ferdinand, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club,
yeah, right,
the Von
right.
Bondies, Dandy Warhols, Elbow, Primal Scream, Super Furry Animals, and Michael Nyman. It's a sex movie, basically. With live music, and people think it's pretentious and boring and sucks. So if you like
sex movies
with halfway decent music.
Awesome, I'll pick that up.
This week has a lot of Asian films, Korean films, Japanese films being released. First film is called Ace.
Screw the small judo man.
It's a South Korean film by Lee Jong-hyuk. It's like a kind of a Seven Meets Silence of the Lambs thing. It's a thriller with a psychopath who turns himself in for murdering a couple girls, and then a copycat begins to continue his murders.
So it's a family film.
It's a really creepy, chilling, good movie. So if you... if you liked Seven or Silence of the Lambs and you can read subtitles, pick it up. I recommend it. It's one of my favorites. Next is another one of my favorites from Chan-wook Park, or Park Chan-wook, depending on where you are. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
I'm sitting down. What is he when I'm sitting down?
I think it's Park Chan-wook whenever you're sitting down.
Okay.
It's a movie about... a guy who can't afford proper care for his dying sister. She's going into kidney failure. So her brother turns to black market to sell his own organs. But
Bill Duke runs it.
Because that's how I rock him.
His sister gets him to kidnap the daughter of a wealthy guy. So he does that, and it just turns into an absolute disaster.
Let me show you what's that.
It's actually pretty painful to watch, but it's a very good movie, or at least I think it is.
I'll watch that, but it sounds kind of sad.
It's brutal. It's really brutal, but it just shows you the talent of a lot of these South Korean directors.
Okay.
Next film is just your horrible, overdone sequel shit. Final Destination 3.
Yes.
Another one?
The two-disc Thrill Ride Edition.
Oh, yes. Thrill Ride Edition. Is this the
you
one?
You get to choose what.
I've seen on the commercial, you choose the fate of the actors. I wish they had that feature in every movie. Think of how awesome that would be.
I think this one.
A lot of short
escape
movies out there.
People escape like from dying on a roller coaster or something. So I don't even know. I don't even care.
Does the airbag deploy? No.
The first Final Destination was actually pretty good, but then everything went downhill.
Why do they do that with franchises? Of course, I mean, I'm saying why. Really, the reason is money.
Money, yeah.
But I don't understand.
But as they go on, it's funny, with franchises like Final Destination, they put less money into them and expect more money back.
Right. I mean, they even do that now with big movies like X3 or whatever. They throw some money out. Usually, they have like a year, 2 years of pre-production on these movies. Now they're like, we got to get this out next summer. Start working on it now, you know. We don't even have a script yet.
Okay, next DVD is Ask the Dust. It's a film with Salma Hayek and Colin Farrell. I know next to nothing about this movie. The one thing I do know is that there are websites plastered with a nude scene that Salma Hayek does in the ocean from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Can you send me a link to that?
Yeah, I sure can. And the cinematographer was Caleb Deschanel, who was robbed at the Oscars a few years ago for his work on Passion of the Christ. He absolutely should have won that.
Is he related to Zoe?
Yeah, it's his her father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Caleb Deschanel is just an incredibly talented cinematographer, and the cinematography work he did in The Passion of the Christ is just absolutely incredible. It's like a moving picture, or, you know, just like a moving picture, yeah.
Isn't that what movies are?
Well, no. What I mean by moving picture is like Mel Gibson.
No, I knew
he
what you
modeled
meant.
The film after Caravaggio paintings, and it just looks the colors and the settings are just so rich that it just looks amazing. But anyways, let's Ask the Dust. I don't know anything about it. If anybody does, maybe post something on the forum.
Hey, we were sold it. Nude scene.
Nude scene of Salma
Hayek.
Yeah,
it's what it's known
so
old.
For. Really?
Yes, Ari. I know everyone's going to want to run out and buy this huge steaming hunk of shit.
Now, back off along these
people. I'm in line already.
The Bench Warmers.
Oh, Lordy.
Thank you, God.
Starring David Spade.
Finally, it's a
Rob
be mine.
Schneider, and
Roy Scheider's in that?
Oh,
yes. He and Blue Thunder swoops in and kills them all.
Bang,
and then Malcolm McDowell comes back as a zombie.
Awesome.
Please
so that's Bench Warmers. Oh, nobody will buy it. Nobody cares.
I'm picking it up.
Silky dirt, dude.
The Boondocks, complete first season. This was an Adult Swim cartoon on the Cartoon Network. I never watched it. It was supposedly nominated for like an NAACP Image Award.
I tried watching it.
I don't give a flying.
It looks really.
It was well made.
It looks very Japanimation.
Yeah. I have a clip of it actually.
Like large eyes.
You.
I think I might have to watch that.
Yes.
Come here, you fat mouth little.
Whoa.
And lastly,
but not leastly,
Chappelle's show, The Lost Episodes, uncensored. He had a great TV show. Comedy Central knew it. He had a mental breakdown. He went off to Africa somewhere. That was it. The long-awaited Lost episodes are finally here. I think they only shot 3 or 4 episodes. So, yeah, it says it's the length is 68 minutes, so it's 3 episodes. And from what I understand, Dave Chappelle is pissed that these episodes are even hitting the air.
Were they lost because he didn't approve them? He didn't like them, how they turned out?
Well, they were lost because... these were shot after he received that huge paycheck from Comedy Central, and then he had his breakdown.
Oh, I gotcha.
And basically said, I don't want any part of it. And Comedy Central said, well, if you're not going to take the money, we'll take the show away.
So basically, so, it was the film, the episodes he already had in the can before his breakdown.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, there's a really funny bit that I saw. I watched him on Comedy Central, and there was a really funny one where he went around and used all the money that he was paid for the show and got back at all the people that screwed him when he was young. And it was a really hilarious bit, and I have a feeling the season would have been really funny, but it's just a mystery what happened in Dave Chappelle's head.
He let the pressure get to
him. Yeah, he let the pressure get to
him. The responsibility
of
it all.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell does it matter? You got $20-50 million, whatever.
And also, I think there was some guilt there too. He felt guilty making that much money.
Well, then if he felt so guilty, why didn't he, you know, kick back some to the guys in the crew? You know, yeah, I just think he something happened.
He let the pressure get to him.
It was all in his head. I think.
Yeah, having to take care of, you know, all of that.
What he needed was a good auditing session. It would have helped him out. Would have helped him build confidence.
Those thetans were eating.
I mean, joke
confidence.
About it if you will, but it would have helped him build some confidence there, Bill.
I think one of the funniest things I've ever read is www.chappelletheory.com. this group of guys made up this whole elaborate story about what happened to Dave Chappelle whenever he got the money, and it has to do with this whole powerful group of black people like Al Sharpton and Oprah and all them threatening him and showing up house in the middle of the night and talking about the Chappelle problem, and it's like this whole ridiculous conspiracy to get him off the air.
Wow, poor guy. He never had a chance.
Yeah, so if you want to read something really funny, check out ChappelleTheory.com. And that's the DVDs for July 25th, 2006.
Thanks a lot, Bill. As always, you did a fantastic bang-up job.
Looking for some pillow talk. Will you remember? Do you remember? You beat the very best. Let's not forget every urine test. You've been through every part of France except for Paris. Hilton's pants, remember.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 45. It's a Colt, Steven.
A Colt?
Not a Magnum. Thanks for joining us. Also,
I'd
our
like a 40 of your Colt 45.
I'd like to thank Fat Mama for being here.
Fat Mama, I'm here to say
God, that show's going to be so bad.
Yeah,
if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail like the Rondu did... Like the Rondu.
Like the Rondu does.
Yeah, like the Rondu do. Do does.
You say that, I think of the do Ron Ron Ron. You know that.
Hey, I think we got another mix for Credo.
Do Ron Ron Ron.
Go to 1206-202-3491. Also, we have a happening, slamming forum where you can leave lots of messages. Every day there's new threads on there. It's very exciting. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com, click the link that says Mulberry Cultural Community Center, and join up there. And also you will find the link there to our Mulberry After the Show. That's the only place you can get it, Stephen. Can't get it anywhere else.
No?
Nope.
Are you, really?
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 Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email.
Really?
Yes, really. You could write little messages to us. And you know what I'm going to start doing? I've never done this before, Stephen. I get email during the week, and now I'm going to start reading emails on the show. What do you guys think? Would you guys like that?
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you want to send us an email, tell us about yourself, tell us what you like on the show, and tell us about things that happen on the show.
Tell us you like think hot dogs are slamming.
Yeah, hot dogs are slamming. Tell us
your sexual fantasies.
Tell us about stuff like that. And I got nothing. And send it to us. I'll read it on the air. What do you guys think about that? I think it would be fantastic.
Well, I think we said it would be cool the first time you asked.
You smart ass.
I want to beat the shit out of it.
But you don't like the yogi?
What the hell was that?
Now, also, don't forget about Friday night chats. I nearly did, yes, last night, and ended up not chatting very much. Sorry about that, Bill.
Normally, we get a pretty good turnout with the Rondu and Captain Joel.
I know, and Vanessa went
Frito.
And teased them. Vanessa was on there 2 weeks in a row, and they're waiting for her to show up. Never
yeah,
showed
right.
up.
I was busy throwing up last night, thank you.
Are you on medication?
All right, everybody, thanks a lot. That's the show. Sorry.
No.
Now this is podcasting.